And turn with me to, does any of you kids know where we're at? First Samuel chapter 20. First Samuel chapter 20. Remember, we read one verse in chapter 20 last week. And this is the tail end of the story that David had been, Saul attempted to kill David. David fled out of the presence of Saul. He fled home. He fled away from home. He fled to Samuel in Ramah. And then from Ramah, after Saul had tried to get him, had tried to arrest him four times there in Ramah, David has fled back to the palace and is now pleading for his life before Jonathan. This is where we pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And David fled from Naioth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes." And he and he saith, "Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Then said Jonathan unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." And David said unto Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. I, David, will have peace," he's saying. "But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father?" And Jonathan said, "Far be it from thee. For if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee?" Then said David to Jonathan, "Who shall tell me, or what if thy father answer thee roughly?" And Jonathan said unto David, "Come, and let us go out into the field." And they went out both of them into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, "O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then sin not unto thee, and show it thee, the Lord do so, and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David every one from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shalt remain by the stone easel. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, Go and find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, Behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, Behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord has sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, something hath befallen him. He is not clean, surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father, and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow, which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go, carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this passage of Scripture where we see the love of Jonathan towards David, and we can see in the life of Jonathan a picture of Jesus Christ and his love toward us, that Jesus did everything he could. He gave his own life to redeem us from Satan's grasp. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time in your word. Help me as I share some points out of this passage. Help it to be plain to the young children. And Father, I pray that you would edify each one here this morning. If there's one that's not saved, I pray that they would come to know you as their Savior today. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we have the passage that cinches David's outlawhood. Before, there had always been a little bit of hope that his relationship to Saul could be salvaged, that Saul could see the error of his ways and could be talked into the true fact that David had done nothing wrong. David didn't deserve to die. But here we see that Saul, his mind has been made up, and he proves it by trying to kill his own son, Jonathan. So David, in this passage, he becomes an outlaw. Not by choice, he becomes an outlaw by force. He is forced out of the kingdom. Saul creates the whole outlawhood of David out of thin air. So the first thing I want us to see here is back at the beginning of the chapter. David runs to Jonathan, and David pleads for his life to Jonathan. He says, what have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin? What have I done that your father is willing to kill me? And then notice in verse 8, the very end of his plea with Jonathan, he says, if I have done iniquity, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself. For why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? David says to Jonathan, if I am worthy of death, don't bother hauling me to your father. Kill me yourself. He's putting his life at stake here. How many of you have a favorite toy? Who's got a favorite toy, favorite game? A few of you have a favorite toy, favorite game. Okay, so imagine that favorite toy or that favorite game, and you're going to put your life to the test and see how righteous of a kid you are, how good of a child. So you take your toy to your older brother or your older sister, and if you're the eldest, you take him to the next youngest, okay? The next youngest brother or the next youngest sister. So the one closest to you or your eldest brother or sister. And you ask that older brother or older sister, you know, I think I've been a pretty good kid. And I don't think I've really ever disobeyed mom and dad. And if you can think of a time where I deliberately disobeyed mom and dad, you can have my toy, my favorite game. How many of you would be willing to do that? Whew, I think we'd all lose our favorite toy, wouldn't we? Well, David did something far greater here. He says, if I have done iniquity towards Saul, kill me yourself. Kill me yourself. If I have disobeyed your father, if I have done something wrong toward your father, don't bother hauling me in irons to your father. Go ahead and kill me right now. If I deserve to die, do it now. That was a pretty big step for David to take, except for the fact that he knew he had done nothing wrong. He had lived his life honestly before the entire kingdom and before Saul. He had obeyed every command Saul had given to him. So David says, what have I done? Why in the world is Saul trying to kill me? Jonathan, you're his son. Can you explain this? Jonathan, he has no idea. He didn't even know that Saul had been trying to kill David for the past few days. And Jonathan here in verse 4, Jonathan promises to help David. Somebody read for me verse 4. Who's got it? Stand and read it for me. First Samuel 20, verse 4. Who's got it? Jonathan, you've got it.
Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee.
Thank you. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. Notice that Jonathan doesn't say, I will do anything for you as long as it doesn't break the law. He doesn't say that. He knows, without asking David, by the way, what is it that you're going to want me to do? He knows before asking David, what does David want him to do, that David is not going to ask him to do something wrong. That's the kind of person that Jonathan knew David to be. Jonathan said, I will do anything you want me to do. Anything at all that you want me to do. Because I know you're not going to want me to do something wrong. We can see his love and confidence in David. I'll do anything you want. I'll lay down my life for you, David, if that's what you want. I'll do anything for you at all. And David, of course, is not going to ask Jonathan to do something wicked or wrong. Kids, your friends need to be like David, where you know that your friends are not going to ask you to do wrong. You know for a fact that your closest friends are never going to ask you to break your parents' rules. Your friends are never going to ask you to break their parents' rules. Your friends need to be like David. They will never ask you to do something wrong. But furthermore, kids, you need to be like David. Where your friends, the ones that you have that are friends of you, your friends need to know that you, each one of you, would never ask them to do something wrong. Your friends need to be able to have the confidence that Jonathan had here. My friend, Micaiah, he's never going to ask me to do something wicked. I can tell Micaiah, I will do anything you want me to do. Because I know my friend Micaiah, he will never ask me to do something wrong. You need to be like David. So how about it, kids? Are you a person like David, who you would never ask your friend to do something wrong? You would never ask your friend to disobey God. You would never ask your friend to disobey their parents. There's a fly around my head up here. And you would never ask your friend to disobey your parents. David was that kind of friend. Jonathan had complete confidence in David's integrity. David will do what is right every time. And we know that David, in Jonathan's life, he always did what was right with Jonathan. However, we do know that David was a sinner, and David did not do right his entire life. David sinned, just like you and I. And as you have confidence in your friends, your closest friends, the ones that you know would never ask you to do right, they may not ask you to do wrong, but they might do wrong themselves. And you need to not have your confidence in your friend destroyed when they disappoint you. Because people will disappoint you. If your friends disappoint you, you need to forgive them. That's what the Bible teaches. Forgive and it shall be forgiven you. Hey, if you want your friends to forgive you when you have done wrong, and you will, you'd better forgive your friends when they have done wrong. But Jonathan had confidence in David, that David was going to do what was right in this situation. And David did. We see David's test of Saul in verses 5 through 7. Let's read that again. And David said unto Jonathan, Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat, but let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, It is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. You say, wait a second. David has just asked Jonathan to lie for him. I don't believe he did. I think David told Jonathan to say exactly what did happen in David's city once a year. Most likely, David's family did have a yearly sacrifice in Bethlehem. And most likely, this year, David's brother did ask him to be present. I do not believe that David had Jonathan lie for him. He just asked Jonathan to let him have leave, that he could be absent, and then tell your father that I asked you leave so that I might go to Bethlehem. David isn't asking Jonathan to lie for him. David is just giving Saul a test. It is factual information. There is a yearly sacrifice. His brother most likely did ask David to be there. And David is asking Jonathan to be absent from the king's court. David had learned this tactic straight from the prophet Samuel. Somebody read for me. Swords ready? Swords up, fingers out of them. Somebody read 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 3. 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 3. Go. David had learned this tactic from Samuel, who had been told to do it by God. Who's got it?
his son. And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take people with you and say, 'I am come to sacrifice to the Lord.' And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee that thou shalt do it. And thou shalt anoint him unto me, whom I name unto thee."
Thank you, Joshua. Very good. Let's read that again, so we get the idea. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, 'How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons.' And Samuel said, 'How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me.' And the Lord said, 'Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee.'" So God tells Samuel, go to Bethlehem, and you're going there to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king. But go with two purposes. Go to Bethlehem with two reasons. And the one you make public, tell them you've come to sacrifice to the Lord. You're going to go do two things in Bethlehem, Samuel. You are going to go sacrifice to the Lord, and you are going to anoint me a king from Jesse's sons. But you only have to tell the nosy people the first reason you've come to sacrifice to the Lord. They don't need to know the second reason. It's none of their business. So David had learned this same thing, this tactic here, from Samuel. Samuel had done it with his family, David's family, and God had told Samuel to do it. You see, sometimes it is not the king's business to know what you are doing. In other words, sometimes it is not the government's business to know what you are doing. God told Samuel to go do two things in Bethlehem. But you only need to tell the nosy people one of your reasons for being there. You see, some countries, let's apply this to today. Some countries in the world did not allow missionaries to come into the country at all. You cannot come into North Korea, for instance, if you say, "I'm coming in because I'm going to be a missionary of the gospel." They will ship you right back home. But they will allow English teachers. So guess what reason the English missionary tells that government for why they are coming into their country? They are coming to teach English in a school somewhere. It's true. They are. They have a job where they're going to come teach English to that foreign nation. But they don't tell them the rest of their business. It's not the government's business. They are also coming to teach people about Jesus, but they don't need to tell the government that. Jesus didn't say you had to tell governments all of your private matters. He just said you have to tell the truth. "I am coming to teach English." And they are. This is something that we've learned from God Himself. You don't have to tell governments everything that you are going to do. It's not a government's business. Okay, kids, but your parents do not qualify as a government. All right? Let me get that straight real fast. When your parents, and you're a teenager, and you come home bringing a bag of something home, and your daddy says, "What's in that bag?" He is not being nosy. He is not stepping over his bounds in any way, shape, or form. Everything that happens in your daddy's house, everything that comes into your daddy's house, is your daddy's business. He needs to be able to know about it. Everything that happens in your mommy's house is her business. Everything that you bring into your mommy's house is her business. The only exception to this rule might be Christmas presents. Okay? And you're going to eventually tell your mommy and daddy what you got them, right? Okay, So when your parents want to know, what have you been doing? I am not saying you can tell them half of what you've been doing. Okay? We're talking about a government. Your parents are not a government. Your parents are your parents. They deserve to know everything that you have done. Okay, but Samuel is David here is putting Saul to the test, the king, a government, to see if that government is friendly toward David or not. For some reason, Saul expected David to be present at the Feast of the New Moon. This was a public celebration of the new month. And it had to have been something that was going on in Saul's kingdom, that it was a habit or expected of Saul's children and in-laws to all be present at this public feast of the new moon, or it was expected of all the officers of Saul to be present at the new moon. Either way, David was a son-in-law, David was an officer in his kingdom, and so David was expected to be present at the public feast of the new moon. So this is why Saul here, he's chased David out, but he expects David to be present. This is why, because there's a very public feast that they're celebrating in front of everybody, and it is the custom that Saul's people be present and dine with him publicly. All right? But David is not asking Jonathan to lie. All right? His family most likely did have a sacrifice to do. His family most likely did ask him to be there. It's just that David is asking Jonathan for leave. Notice what Jonathan does tell his father. Verse 28. And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. So Jonathan is just following what David asked him to do. David asked him to say that I might go to my father's house. There's nowhere that David is promising Jonathan that he is going to go to Bethlehem. Jonathan never says that David is in Bethlehem. He just asked leave so that he could go to Bethlehem. All right? Jonathan is not lying to his father. David didn't ask him to lie to his father. The other thing I want us to see in this chapter, I want us to see the covenant and intercession of Jonathan. Before, when David had killed Goliath, Jonathan had made a covenant with David, and he loved him as his own soul. They made a covenant together. Jonathan gave him his armor, his robe, all of his artillery and weapons, okay? But that was when David was a national hero, right? Saul was happy about David killing Goliath. Saul liked David. But now, the king, Saul, doesn't like David. So now, Jonathan reaffirms his covenant now that the situation has changed drastically. Before, Jonathan, the king's son, said, I'm going to be your friend forever. Well, now his father says he's an outlaw. David's going to be questioning where my loyalties lie. So Jonathan reaffirms to David. He reaffirms and reassures David that I do love you as my own soul. We do have a covenant together. I will not kill you ever, and I will not turn you into my father. You have been a righteous man. I'm not going to do it. So he reaffirms his covenant with David. But now, with King Saul after David, Jonathan's love for David is being put far more to the test. He's being tested, Jonathan is, far more now than when he was a national hero, when David was a national hero. And Jonathan had given David his weapons and his armor. But now, Jonathan has to risk his own life for David. If Jonathan does what David asks him, Jonathan will be defying his father's wishes. Saul is not just any father. He is the king of Israel. So as Jonathan reaffirms his covenant with David, he is saying, it doesn't matter what the king of the land does to me, I will protect you. I will be your friend. Jonathan is displaying his love for David in this chapter. It's not just talk with Jonathan. Oh yeah, I really love you, David. Yeah, I'd do anything for you, David. It's not just talk. He does do everything he can. He puts his life in harm's way. He risks his own life for David. In the last chapter, chapter 19, Jonathan had interceded once with his father, and he was successful at softening his father's heart and changing his mind. Remember, in verses 4, 5, and verses 4 and 5, Jonathan is talking to Saul, and in verse 6, it says, "And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain." So once before, a chapter before, Jonathan had been successful. But this time, as he goes before the king of Israel and pleads for David, he nearly gets killed for it. Look at verse 33 again. Verse 32 says, "And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him." He almost dies trying to defend David. So Jonathan is doing everything he can for David. He is proving his great love for David, that he truly does love David as his own soul. The Bible tells us that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Kids, who loved you and gave his life for you? Jesus. Jonathan is a picture of Jesus here. David is an outlaw. He's facing the wrath of the king. And you and I, before we were saved, were outlaws of God, from God. We were enemies of God and we faced his wrath. But Jesus Christ did everything he could do to redeem your soul. He gave his very life to redeem you. And Jonathan here is a picture of Jesus. He's willing to lay down his life for David, the outlaw. And then lastly, we see in this chapter, the end of the chapter, David and Jonathan's secret meeting. Saul knows nothing about this. Jonathan had promised to give David the results of the test. If Saul is happy with David, I will tell you. If Saul is angry with you and wants you killed, I will tell you, Jonathan had promised. And so in verses 35 and 42, we see Jonathan giving David the result. Just in case Jonathan was followed, they had prepared a code, a language code, to warn David of impending disaster ahead of time. He said, if there is evil towards you, I will say, the arrow is beyond thee. Haste thee. Go and get it. And that was just in case Jonathan didn't go shoot his bow and arrow alone. Because he didn't know if Saul was going to tag along this day. He had no way of knowing if Saul would come. So they prepared ahead of time in case there was somebody like Saul present with Jonathan. This way David would never have to reveal himself. The message was going to be able to be passed even with Saul present. But thankfully that day he wasn't present. He hadn't followed Jonathan. He didn't go with Jonathan to practice his bow and arrow. But just in case there was a spy following, they went ahead and followed through with their language code. And Jonathan did shoot his bow, and he did tell his lad, "Go! Is not the arrow beyond thee? Go get it! Haste thee! Stay not!" And by the time Jonathan was done shooting his bow and arrow, both of the men, David and Jonathan were sure that there was no spy trailing along. So the lad goes home, and David is able to come out of hiding and go give Jonathan a hug. And they wept a good while, the Bible says. Verse 42, verse 41, "And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, 'Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.'" So it wasn't just a pact between David and Jonathan that they themselves were going to be best friends and they weren't going to hurt one another. Their promise affected their kids. David's promise to Jonathan was going to affect Solomon. Solomon, according to David's promise, his oath to Jonathan, Solomon would not be allowed to do harm to Jonathan's sons and grandsons and great-grandsons. None of David's sons, descendants, were allowed to do harm to Jonathan's family members. Okay? So this pact between them was not just for their life alone. It was for their sons and their grandsons all the way down. And we know here that this is David and Jonathan's second to last meeting ever. This was a short-lived friendship. Their friendship started with the death of Goliath. And just a few months, maybe 2 years, their friendship lasted. This is their second to last meeting that they will ever have before Jonathan dies. Jonathan was a devoted and faithful friend to David. He would have gladly done anything he could have for David. If there was some way that Jonathan could have made David safe, he would have. And sometimes, kids, there are difficult situations that God wants us or our friends to go through that our friends can't help us get out of, or we can't help our friend get out of them. God wanted David to go through some hard times. Jonathan could not help him get out. And sometime in the future, you'll have a friend who goes through a very difficult time, maybe a health issue or a financial issue, and you would love to be able to fix the problem, but you can't, because it's God's will for them to go through it. And your heart might break for them, but you can't fix it. Only God can fix it. And you and your friend simply are going to have to trust God to see you through the situation, to see them through the situation. You're going to have to trust in God that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God never lets bad things into our life that He won't get us through. But maybe He'll get us through them by getting us to heaven. You know, maybe you or I might have a health issue someday where we get a terminal illness. And it's God's will, obviously, that we have this terminal illness. And I can't help myself, and you can't help me. And maybe the way that God heals me and gets me out of my illness is by taking me to heaven. But I and you have to trust God in that kind of situation. There is something in every situation that God wants us to learn. David was going to learn humility. David was going to learn how to be a leader in tough, tough situations. He was going to learn to be a leader that men followed, not because you better follow me or else, but he learned to be a leader that men loved. And they were willing to die for him. So God used these hard situations in David's life for good, even though at the time it looks really bad. It looks like there's no reason for this. But God always uses trials to teach us and train us in His will. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the life of David. Thank you for his belief and trust in you. Even though hard times came in his life, he did not let that shake his faith. He did not let his faith in you be affected by difficult circumstances. Thank you, Lord, for the example of David. Lord, help each one of us to be a person, a man or woman of God who will follow you and be faithful to you no matter what, no matter if hard times come in our life. We will believe in you and keep following you. Father, I pray that you would use the example of David in our lives to keep challenging us to be faithful to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.